these two parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have had their chance. And they've blown it.
Oh, come, nobody ever reads manifestos during the election, Sean, you know that.
But they've taken our policies.
Such a collection of chanters and charlatans.
It can't be like, here, vote for me, bye.
Yeah, I shall be the Taoiseach now, hope.
This is Election Daily, the special series from the Inside Politics podcast team at the Irish Times. I'm Hugh Linehan. Every evening we keep you up to date with what's happening in the general election campaign. Now, before we start, I just want to take a moment to ask for a favour. We had a great reaction to our election coverage on this podcast over the last few weeks, but we would really like to get to know a bit more about you, our listeners, and what you want from us in the future. So if you have a couple of minutes, we would be really grateful if you'd go to irishtimes.com/podcast survey and fill out that brief survey find there. It'd be really helpful to us. That's irishtimes.com/podcast survey. Now, the two weary foot soldiers who have fought their way across no man's land to save the podcast this evening are Fiacc Kelly and Harry McGee. I hope you got the Oscars reference there, guys.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Parasite.
Yes,
you know. No, 1917,
of course.
Because it is Oscars weekend.
It is. It was BAFTAs on Monday.
Yeah, so obviously that's where all my attention is going to be turned. You can tell me how the election
turned out.
Well,
the first two films I'm going to look at actually after all of this happened is going to be 1917 and Parasite.
Do you know what? To my eternal shame, I went to see 1917 the day before the Taoiseach called the election because I had a day off work. My phone was buzzing too much. I had to leave the cinema because I couldn't concentrate, you know, so I haven't had any breaks since. Okay. So I'm looking forward to seeing it after.
Well, I suppose to, you know, bring things back to home to us, I mean, in general election 2020, who's going to be our Renée Zellweger? Who's going to be our Saoirse Ronan when the results come in on Sunday evening? We are actually going to talk in greater detail about that tomorrow, Harry. We're going to do some actual number crunching for those who like it.
With Damien Cullen, who Indeed. Is coming down from the Eagle's Nest, otherwise known as the Health magazine. He spent last Sunday, I think, going through the spreadsheets of different constituencies. And I was looking at his numbers today and they're surprisingly close to mine. Uh-huh. And I would have accused him of plagiarism, except he did his figures before I did.
No, I know he did, because I saw his figures before I saw your figures. So it's all legit and it's all above board. But he has what you don't have, which is bookies odds.
Oh, is that what he was basing his on?
No, not necessarily. We'll save all that for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Let's move. Any straws in the wind today in terms of signs of panic, signs of confidence, signs of anything? You were on a Fine Gael bus today.
I was on the Fine Gael bus to Carlow. And, you know, one thing you do look at in the last week of a campaign is where the leaders go, where they travel to, if they're on the offensive or the defensive. And being in Carlow, Leo Varadkar, Pascal Donoghue and Heather Humphreys today, Carlow is one of those seats that may fall on a bad day for Fine Gael. It's in Carlow Kilkenny, a five-seater. Pat Deering is the Carlow TD for Fine Gael, under a bit of pressure. And to me, although the rapid press conference was done down there, it looked like, you know, going down to help save Pat Deering if he's in trouble. I understand from the canvas returns that Carlow town is quite hostile territory. It's largely going towards Sinn Féin. It was thought before the Sinn Féin surge that Kathleen Funchen would be one of those people who would be at risk of losing her seat. People say she may even top the poll in Carlow Kilkenny now, but there are question marks over Pat Deering's seat.
And Carlow Kilkenny is one of those constituencies where it's real. There's Carlow and there's Kilkenny.
Yes.
And Kilkenny's the bigger part.
Yeah, like vote for the Carlow TD is, you know, the usual catch-call down there, you know, and Fianna Fáil are running Jennifer Minnane O'Connor to capitalise on that. Now, some people in Fine Gael are quite confident that they're in with a shot of holding the two seats. They say, according to their canvas returns, that the level of the support they're getting is on par with what they got in 2016. Again, whether they park up, whether they get a good first preference vote, and then the transfers just aren't there. But I think if you look at the Taoiseach going down there as sending a signal that maybe they believe that Pat Deering needs to be shored up, compare that, for example, to where Micheál Martin has been the last few days, Dublin rat down, kind of an offensive move to see if they can take a seat off Shane Ross and get Shea Brennan in there. But in saying that, you know, I've said this before, and all we can do is relay what we're told. The view in Fine Gael is that the opinion polls do not reflect what they're getting on the ground. I don't think they really believe they have enough to outpoll Fianna Fáil now or catapult themselves beyond Fianna Fáil, but they don't think they're at 20%.
It's not as bad as it seems.
It's not as bad as it seems. A couple of things. What they do is they point towards the couple of constituency level opinion polls we've had from TG Cahir and Ipsos MRBI, which show them increasing their vote share, doing quite well actually in a couple of places. In Galway West, I think they perform quite well. Same in Kerry. By their standards, the same in Donegal. Obviously, Donegal is a bit of a different territory for Fine Gael. They also say that people are quite positive to them. But again, it's that situation. Are they misreading the electorate? it's not anger as it was in 2014 and 2016. Are they misreading polite indifference? Is that what it is? They just can't, they don't really know where they are. They don't think it's as bad as the opinion polls, but they don't think.
They could be completely wrong.
They could be, yeah. And you have to tell yourselves that as you go around the canvas that this is going okay. There wasn't much sign of panic off them today. Taoiseach quite strong in his messaging again, saying, questioning this idea of change, saying, you know, we can bring in the change you want. What change do you want? Do you want change that can wreck the economy? Fianna Fáil, as he put it.
His scriptwriters are coming up with, you know, funny lines along, new ones every day. Was it like about Amadon Economics?
Amadon
today?
Economics was the Sinn Féin one today. You know, he had Venezuela, he had East Germany, he's had in the past, but this was Amadon Economics. And he also said, do you want change that can threaten the foundations of the state, the guards and the courts? Obviously, he's talking about Sinn Féin as well.
Yeah, so. I don't know about the Amadon Economics. It's a bit reminiscent of leprechaun economics, which was a phrase that I think Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, coined about Ireland's topsy-turvy GNP numbers.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, though, but it was anything that with Irish economics. In it, I like. Yeah, I wasn't sure whether it was alliterative or onomatopoeic. Maybe it's both of them, but I actually like when I heard the phrase today, it was my favourite phrase of the day. Okay. So we give Fine Gael a victory in relation to that one. But there's precious few other victories for the party at the moment. They're in a difficult place and they're trying desperately to turn around the trajectory. And we're hearing kind of the narrative coming from the other side that we heard Fine Gael saying back in 2011, even Fianna Fáil people saying, lend us your votes so that we can get past the line and stop the Sinn Féin juggernaut from going anymore. And once you see, Fianna Fáil, I did a tot before the campaign. And Fianna Fáil themselves were saying that they had no hopes in Dublin Rathdown. Mm. They had five constituencies where they had no seats. And the only one that they harboured no real hopes for was Dublin Rathdown. Mm. Suddenly, in the last
that's
week...
That's changed quite quickly.
Hugely. Shane Brennan has come into the frame out of nowhere. Mm. And suddenly Shane Ross and Fine Gael are saying that he now poses a threat. We can take it in Dublin Rathdown.
Bookies have slashed the odds and Shane Brennan does. There's a bit of money going behind him too.
Absolutely. So he's into the frame. And we're also looking at a number of Fine Gael constituencies where the numbers will fall down from 3 in Dúnaíre down to 1 perhaps, where the numbers will fall down from 2 to 1, and even where the numbers, as Fiach was pointing out, might even go down to 0. There are some constituencies, besides Dublin North West, which was always a very difficult constituency for Fine Gael, but we're talking about Dublin Fingal, which would be disastrous for it.
They're at each other's throats there as well. Like there was in Dublin Fingal, there was supposed to be a canvassing the void, so HQ instructed earlier in the week that James Riley would not be allowed into Malahide and Portmarnock, and Alan Farr would not be allowed into, I think it was Rush and Bob Regan and Skerries, and the rest of the constituency would be shared. That's been ignored. James Riley is posting videos from Malahide today, so discipline is breaking down across the organisation. A leaflet dropped from Regina Doherty today or the last few days with a line across Meath East saying, below this line, vote for me. And a couple of the towns, I think I'm told, were actually in the agreed territory that was to go to Helen McEntee. So discipline is just breaking down all over the place.
That's what happens.
That's what happens when you're under pressure.
Yeah, and they're in pressure in a lot of constituencies. And the Taoiseach was on Virgin Media News a little bit earlier on talking about the local polls. And they're very useful to have. But you must remember the sample sizes are quite small. And there's a relatively big margin of error. It's 4%. So there's a lot of scope either side of a percentage. Brendan Griffin is a little bit like Michael Ring. He's a kind of a very settled phenomenon in Kerry. He's got a very high profile. And if you look at the 2016 election, what was noteworthy about Brendan Griffin was he's a very attractive candidate in terms of taking in transfers from people who have no association with Fine Gael. And you could say the same about Joe McHugh in Donegal. Joe McHugh is as much a kind of a personality vote as anyone else. They're one seat. In Galway West, the party hasn't done well and may be in difficulty of losing one of its two seats. So I wouldn't use them as a sign there's a latent Fine Gael vote.
But there is, Fianna Fáil are also under pressure in some constituencies as well. Sligo Leitrim, they have two. There's a view that Eamon Scanlon could be under pressure there because Marion Harkin has come in. Local Fine Gaelers who a week or so ago, a week and a half ago, we're not as confident. They're now more confident that they'll take a seat. I was chatting to people down in Roscommon. 3-seat constituency at the moment has 1 Fianna Fáil or 2 independents, Dennis Nocton and Michael Fitzmaurs. People think that there's a real possibility that Fianna Fáil could lose their seat to Sinn Féin. Now, it probably will not happen, but if there's a dynamic change in that constituency, the Fine Gael candidate is quite new, not expected to make an impact. But someone said that there is, if there's a shock, watch out for that. Could be another constituency that returns no Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil today.
Okay, I don't know if our listeners can hear it, but the sound in the background is the sound of the metabolic rate of political correspondence starting to speed up as the final election day approaches, and the excitement of all these head-to-heads rolls out across the country, and the dirty tricks ramp up.
Sell.
I want to ask you, Harry, about something else, but first I just want to say one thing to the listeners also, which is I'm sorry if you missed our live event for the Irish Times subscribers in Trinity College last night. You were both weren't there. I was very disappointed.
We were very disappointed.
We'll definitely have you along for the next
I was on my keyboard trying to keep myself awake to file a lead story for this morning.
We did have a great time, and listeners can hear some of it on the podcast, which we pushed out earlier today. And that is just one of the many benefits that you can get from subscribing to the Irish Times, along with access to all our quality reports and analysis and features, including Donald Clark's Oscars coverage this weekend. So just go to irishtimes.com/subscribe and get your first month for just €1. The Greens have been strangely low-key. They had their final press conference today.
They'll make gains, and they'll make considerable gains, but it'll still be a bit of a disappointment. And it looked like climate change was going to be the big issue during the local and European elections, but somehow it has got marginalised during this campaign. It's been kind of jostled aside.
Do the Greens bear any blame for that themselves?
They do, but we'll just look at the context first. It's been the housing, health. We had crime in the first week, the Drogheda thing. We had the poor man who suffered terrible injuries when they tried to remove his tent along the banks of the canal. And then the second week, a lot of it has been about the whole Sinn Féin juggernaut, and the Paul Quinn thing has become very important. So there have been these immediate issues. And in a way, climate change is a little bit like people who are in their 20s and 30s thinking about their pension. They know they have to do it. They know they're going to have to face it, or else they're going to have an uncertain future. But they do tend to long finger it because they know it's not immediate. But when you look at it, the Green Party themselves have been not, in my view, have not been as coherent as they should be in relation to the message. I think Eamon Ryan has been very sincere in terms of his media interviews, but he's trying to field too many concepts, trying to talk about too many things. And somehow the message, the simple message about climate change, which is a relatively simple one that we need to adopt now, or else we're going to pay the consequences, has got lost somewhere along the line. And they could have taken messages from the youth climate strikes, or even from Extinction Rebellion, softening the voice. They haven't been helped by Saoirse McHugh either, and others who've said they were against carbon taxes and have come out with lines which are contrary to the Green Party policy. Having said that, they'll make gains. But I think overall they could have made more, and they could have had a more succinct message.
One last point from you, Fionn.
I was just going to read a text someone sent me today, actually, on the issue of degrees. Someone said, you know, summed up the election thusly. Obviously, we don't endorse this text. You know, Fine Gael have no heart, Fianna Fáil have no remorse. Labour is racked by guilt, and the Greens thought Greta was going to win it for them. That was the summation of the election, which is, of course, you know.
I think probably the Green Party are the only people whose members use the word thusly as well, you know. So that's that's something too. Listen, we're going to leave it there. But just to say, some media organisations have a moratorium tomorrow. It's the last day before election. We don't actually do a moratorium here in this podcast. We want to be having interesting conversations about the sort of number crunching that you could hear our correspondents be excited about here, as well as we will also be back with our regular daily podcast too. But that is it for today's podcast. Thanks to Fionn and to Harry for coming in. Thanks also to our producer Suzanne Brennan and to JJ Vernon on the desk. Remember, you can find us on all the usual podcast platforms, including Apple, Acast, Spotify, or whatever you're having yourself, and you can get us at irishtimes.com/podcast. You can mail us at politicspodcast@irishtimes.com, or you can find most of us on Twitter. We'll be back very soon indeed. Talk to you tomorrow.